Good afternoon. It is about 32 minutes past the hour of 12 o'clock. You're listening to KFSK Petersburg, and it is time for Borough Business. That's our call-in show with borough officials. I'm Hannah Flohr, and I'm joined here in Studio One by Borough Manager Steve Giesbrecht.
Good afternoon,
Hannah. Good afternoon. Thanks for being here. I asked you to come in today because there are five items of new business on the agenda today. And I was hoping we could just go through them one by one and have some clarification, because that is a lot of new business all at once. And then if we have time at the end, we can maybe get to some questions in the old business, because there's some stuff there too. But let's start with item A under new business.
Sure. It's basically we tax remote sellers, so people like Amazon, and there's a lot of different rules that pop up on occasion and that they change on occasion. And so this is kind of some clarification language that allows us to use Alaska Municipal League to manage our remote sellers' sales tax. So it's language that we have to be identical to theirs. It does not add any exemptions. It doesn't increase taxes. It just clarifies basically the rules, most of which we've already been following, but we're not in our code.
Okay. So it makes it easier for the borough government to follow those rules, because it outsources it to a body that actually dedicates themselves to following those rules.
Right. And we've used them for quite a while.
Okay.
But again, they occasionally change things because the sellers change things. And so it's a kind of a trickle-down effect of everybody has to make sure we're following all the same rules.
So it seems like the borough has been doing some serious municipal code housekeeping of late.
Very true. Unfortunately, we lose Debbie and our borough clerk in April, and she retires and goes off to her next life, I suppose. And we're just trying to make sure we get through all as much as we can while she's here, and we have that institutional knowledge mm-hmm. on when these ordinances were written or altered at some point in the past.
Very wise. Okay, moving on to number two. This is an ordinance amending. I'm not going to read all the numbers. This would institute a new assisted living community facility fee for Mountain View Manor, and kind of change some of the regulations. And, you know, there's a couple new fees this would add. Some raised fees and some sort of stricter regulations. Can you talk about why that's necessary?
Yeah. Unfortunately, we lose a lot of money in assisted living. I think last year we had to transfer over $300,000 from the general fund to assisted living so they could balance their budget. And that trend has not really stopped. So we've gone through, I sent Derek Casey, the director, to Juneau to tour a couple of facilities there and to talk to other people about what do they charge, how do they charge. And we basically came back with some areas that we hope will help us get that facility a little more solvent. If once they're all implemented, and most of this is grandfathered, so only new residents would have to pay, it means about $300,000 more in revenue per year to the borough and to assisted living, because that money stays with assisted living.
Okay. So is it an enterprise fund then?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So it sort of functions as its own contained entity.
Except when they need help.
Help. Okay. So with these changes, would that mean that the likelihood of them needing some money from the general fund would go down? Are you hoping that they'll be able to function entirely as an enterprise fund?
It would be great, Hannah, if they could. My guess is this will get us a lot closer, but won't wholly solve that problem. And it'll take several years for them all to be implemented, because
right.
we're grandfathering it. We're not going to just go to people and say, hey, you have to have a roommate or something like that.
Right, so that might be somewhat.
We don't want to do that to people. I mean,
yeah.
I know, you know, my grandparents, you know, change is not the easiest thing for people like me, even, who get a little older. So we want to make sure that we give people a chance, and to do that, we'll apply this to the newer residents when they come on board for the first time.
Okay, and so just to be clear here, there is a one-time community facility fee of $2,000 for new residents moving into the facility. That is going to be used for facility maintenance and repair. Then when you say residents will be grandfathered in, that means that the increased food cost that goes from $350 to $450 per month, will the residents already at Mountain View Manor not need to pay that increased cost?
Actually, good catch on your part. That is one that will apply immediately.
Okay, that's what I thought.
The food costs.
But presumably the pet fee, folks who already have pets will not have to pay that pet fee.
We're not going to go down that road.
Okay. And then folks who are maybe living one person in a two-bedroom assisted living space will not, you said, have to get a roommate.
No, we're not going to change that. They get to stay there until they choose not to. So the double occupancy ruling will apply to only new residents and only those who, you know, are, when folks put their name on a waiting list, if they don't want to be in a two-bedroom, they can say so.
They can choose a one-bedroom and not have a roommate.
But they'll have to wait for one of those units to come available.
Okay. And is that a strictly financial thing, or is it also because you have a shortage of rooms? Is there a long waiting list?
It's a long waiting list. I don't know what it is at the moment, but I've been here 13 years, and we've had a waiting list that's above double digits for the whole time. So.
Okay. All right. And this is an ordinance, so there's going to need to be three votes. This is the very first time. It's going to be 6 weeks before it goes to a final vote.
Yes.
Okay. 6 weeks? No, I'm doing my math wrong. It's going to be 4 weeks.
Yeah. Three meetings.
Three meetings. That is 4 weeks away. Okay. So there will be, my point being, there will be chance for public comment at the next meeting. Moving on to letter C.
Yeah.
This is the tide lens. This is the one that's kind of been long in the making. And, you know, does this combine the marine overlay, or is this just about the disposal of tidelands?
This is just about the disposal, although marine overlay will come at a later date. They're still working on that. But back in July, even earlier than that, this was started to be a conversation about the value of tidelands and how, if the borough chooses to sell them, how should those be priced?
Right.
And the assembly has been, at the time, we went back and forth, and they kind of laid down and said, you know, we really are more comfortable with appraised value, but our ordinance really doesn't say that. So it took a while for this to get to the point where it's been vetted by the attorney and the harbor board and all the other folks that want to weigh in, and this will change it to say that borough can sell tidelands, but the minimum price is the appraised value.
Okay, and just a reminder, appraised value is often substantially higher than assessed, because assessed is just kind of a non-specific average of the land value around, and appraised is a specific assessment of that one piece.
Yes, it is. You
so it comes in higher.
Yes.
Okay. So under, just to be really clear here, under no circumstances can tidelands owned by the borough be sold for less than appraised value.
Once this passes, that will be, unless the assembly chooses at a later date to change the ordinance again, because they could. But it gives staff and people interested in tidelands and they know where they're headed, what that minimum price is going to be.
They know what they're getting into. The appraised value is something that has to be determined, however. So if somebody's interested in buying that piece of tideland, they would have to pay for the appraisal themselves.
Correct.
Presumably. And then to find out what it is, the assessed value is probably available. The appraised will not be.
Correct.
Okay.
Appraisals, you have to pay an outside appraiser. It's not the person who sets the rates for property tax purposes. They come in and then they'll compare that specific piece of property to others that are likely, that are like property and in other communities potentially in similar situations. So.
Okay. Have you talked to folks on the Borough Assembly? Do you have any sense of how popular this ordinance is?
I think it should be, I was going to say unanimous, but I'm never sure. Basically, this is what we were hearing when we talked on the Weekend property that sold, when we talked with Island Refrigeration and Brock on those properties. It really got to the point where the Assembly was saying what they're comfortable with, and it's appraised value and or above.
Okay.
And we applied that when Brock and Island Refrigeration bought the second piece of property. It was appraised value that it was sold for.
Okay. So that's sort of the direction the Borough Assembly has been going.
Yeah.
Okay. We're moving right along here. On to D, a resolution authorizing the borough manager to apply to the State of Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation for a loan from the Alaska Drinking Water Fund. I don't have any idea what this is about. I'm sorry. I did not. I was going to call you on Friday and ask you, but it was Alaska Day and you were not at work.
Yes.
Fill me in here.
Okay. So thanks to the voters. Big talk. Thank you to them. In the election that just occurred a while back, they approved a bond issue for various utilities. One of the things they approved was money to get water and sewer out to Scow Bay to the workyard area.
Okay, this is the water and wastewater repairs proposition.
Correct. Well, exactly.
Yeah.
So I think it was around $19 million total, something. And so included in one of the projects there was this project for the workyard, getting water and sewer out there to that job site. It passed. This is the next step to basically give me permission to sign paperwork associated with this, and with luck, everything will go where DEC says it's fine and we've got our ducks in a row, and then PEDC will actually kind of manage that for us.
That's the Petersburg Economic Development Council?
Yes, it is. So this will not involve property tax increases to anyone, but it will involve a payment by PEDC.
Okay, I was going to ask about that. Yeah. So it's a loan
yes, it is.
From the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation. Where does the money, so it's the loan will be paid from the Petersburg Economic Development Council, and they have a fund that is specifically for this sort of thing.
Yes, they've been very good stewards of their money and will continue to do so. And they paid off a loan previously. This will just take the place of that one. And
okay.
We'll get this the workyard a step closer. And these loans are unique in that because they're through the state, they occasionally can forgive the balances. Doesn't mean it's going to happen, but we always hope for that, especially if we can show how this is good for our local economy. And Liz and the rest of PEDC will continue to make that argument. And hopefully we'll end up with a really good project here.
And just to be really clear here, so this was authorized from Prop 1, that $19 million. However, that was authorized to be paid back by ratepayers. This is a chunk of that $19 million that will not be paid back.
Correct.
So the whole $19 million is not going to be paid back by ratepayers. A small portion of it, do we know a sort of ballpark figure?
No, not really.
Small portion of it will be paid back by the Petersburg Economic Development Council.
And I think it's important to talk about this. Is, you know, this is where the local folks have weighed in and said this is important to keep our infrastructure in good shape, and we do appreciate that. It's so much easier for all of the people who work for the borough and work on this if we're working on stuff that's taken care of well and doesn't have problems all the time. And this is a good example of more of an economic development type situation where we're running utilities out to this location so businesses feel more comfortable putting their business out there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sounds good. And just out of curiosity, where does the money come from for the Petersburg Economic Development Council's fund?
Well, they basically have a big economic fund that was set up many, many, long before I ever got here. We get interest off of that, and it basically kind of helps fund anything we're going to do. Occasionally you'll get money from the assembly for special projects. And a lot of it, I mean, a ton of it is from grants that Liz Cabrera applies for and is very successful at getting.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good. All right. And finally, letter E, the last of the new business. This is a letter of support for the U.S. Forest Service Thomas Bay Stewardship Proposal. And that is, this passed early this year, with the U.S. Forest Service talking about their final plan for the Young Growth Timber Sale Project over in Thomas Bay.
Yeah, and this has got a little different spin to it, too. It's not just cutting trees. It's also for other things. And it's kind of a new program by the Forest Service, that we've worked with, that kind of tries to economize by having one contractor do a bunch of different things on a certain area. So, and they asked for input. As an example, one of the things I threw at them was, hey, could you look at trails over there in Thomas Bay? Mm-hmm. So it's not just about cutting logs. It's also about potentially trails and docks maybe, or however else that can happen in that area. From Petersburg's perspective, that's a prime recreation area for mm-hmm. many people in town. And we'd like to keep it that way and keep it nice. The stewardship program seems to be one of those where they do a lot of back and forth working with the community, mm-hmm. not just, you know, somebody who wants to go cut logs and leave, but somebody who's willing to, you know, roads, trails, yeah. docks, lots of different things. So yeah. they look like a good project. We've never been involved with one before, so we'll see how it turns out.
Okay, and I did a little homework on this one. I was looking at a story that Angela Denning wrote for Coast Alaska this early this spring about that timber sale, and she was talking about the fact that they were leaving a bunch of old growth stands and going for the young growth timber, and they were doing it in small chunks. And part of the reason they were doing that is because they had gotten a lot of feedback from mills around the area saying, hey, if you take a small amount, we will be able to actually process that here in Alaska and mill it and then have it for Alaska consumers, as opposed to having to bring it all the way back in from out of state.
I think you're right on target there, Angela was. I mean, it's really, again, smaller scale, designed to work with what the community can do and what the community wants in some cases. And, you know, much more than a big, huge, organized timber sale that often takes many, many years to get off the ground.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so. And that is just one vote, right? You'll just vote on that this evening?
Yeah, this is okay. Just to send a letter in support of the program. Yeah. I mean, not necessarily what specific things they're going to do, but just saying we like the program and we like how applying it to Thomas Bay is probably a really good idea.
So. Okay, great. All right, well, we made it all the way through all the new business. Looking at unfinished business, mm-hmm. You know, we were talking about, you guys were talking last week about more housekeeping, about getting all those sales tax stuff figured out so that the code matches exactly what you're doing in-house. You're also adjusting the financial year 2025 budget for known changes. There's a bunch of stuff in there, and there was a really long conversation 2 weeks ago about the motor pool. And I see that Susan Erickson is coming in to talk about insurance this week, tonight. So can we talk a little bit about what's going on there with motor pool and insurance?
Sure. So this will get long and involved. So we have two different things going on.
Okay.
Motor pool is the borough's system for prepaying for vehicles.
Okay.
So we go to, you know, Hannah's department, and we say, how many vehicles do you need? And you say, you need a new pickup truck. And we look at that and say, okay, you've got one now. It's got this many years left in it. A new one's going to cost $50,000. So you need to be putting aside X amount of money per year for the years remaining so that when your old one doesn't run anymore or can't be used, we have the $50,000 ready to go to buy the new one. That's what the motor pool is.
Okay.
Nothing to do with insurance, although it comes into play.
Right.
So we do that for all of the borough vehicles, including big vehicles like fire trucks. One of the challenges with insurance, on most of our vehicles, we only carry liability insurance, meaning if we do something wrong, we have to pay that, and we run the risk of not having the money for a replacement vehicle, but we have motor pool for that. Fire department vehicles in particular, we don't do that because they're put into situations that are often dangerous, so they can burn up or have major things, and they're also incredibly expensive. So replacing a burned-up fire truck is not as easy as a burned-up pickup. Ketchikan, one of their fire departments not that long ago, lost a fire station and a bunch of vehicles, and it's astronomically expensive. So when it came to insurance, our emergency services director, so Aaron, took a look at it, and he raised the limits on what we had set insured values for a various number of our fire trucks. And when he did that, it raised them up so high that it increased our insurance payments, and the assembly was very concerned about that.
So what he did was look at how much it would cost to replace the fire engines, raise that in the sort of calculations in the motor pool, and then that set off a flag that said,
You went to the insurance company, actually.
Oh,
so
you
did
okay.
it in both places. So
okay.
it becomes a change in the motor pool, but it also changes the insured value. So, you know, if you have a house, you insure it for hopefully replacement cost.
Right.
And he also did that on the insurance side.
Gotcha.
And probably got, we probably changed him a little bit too much.
Mm.
So we had just purchased a vehicle, a fire truck for $600,000, we'll say. And so it's pretty much, it's a couple years old. So it's not near, even near. We run fire trucks for 30 years, if that
right.
gives you the public some idea. So he changed that insured value, or suggested that it be changed to $1 million. Because if you went and bought it 5 years from now, it's probably going to be $1 million. They appreciate way too fast. We don't need to do it today. We can do it when it gets closer to that number. So we did that on a few vehicles where the value, it's going to be at that number before we change it, before we buy a new one. But we don't need to pay higher insurance rates today.
We can change it at a gradual. So maybe
yes.
every year we can move it up a little bit, as opposed to looking 5 years ahead, bumping it up and having that radically change the insurance rates.
Absolutely correct.
Gotcha.
So I went through and, we took a harder look at that. We asked Motor Pool to value some vehicles. So we've made some adjustments to that. I don't know if we're going to have the new rates back by tonight's meeting.
Mm-hmm.
But having Susan come and talk to it, she'll speak to any more questions that the assembly may have. And, she'll talk to some of the same things we talked about, which is the inflation on particularly these kind of vehicles like fire trucks
mm-hmm.
is just wild.
Yeah.
They're going up faster than we're putting money aside even.
And a couple different people, if I remember right, had said something like, well, this was already paid, so we can't really reduce it in the changes for the budget. That they were talking about the fact that the insurance has already been paid.
Yes, but we have a great relationship with not only with our broker, Susan Erickson, but the Alaska Public Entity Insurance. And Susan feels they'll let us. They'll just credit us is what they'll do. They'll move that. The extra overage will move to our next premium.
Okay.
So I think we're going to be in good shape there.
So it's possible that $40,000 that was in the changes for the budget for financial year 2025 could be taken off.
Correct.
Okay.
We really won't know till we get the new rates from Susan.
Okay. So not tonight probably, but sometime soonish.
Let's hope.
Okay. And then one other thing, we've just got about 5 minutes left, but just want to touch on quickly. Looking at the Banana Point Breakwater with a Denali grant for nearly $1 million, you had talked about there's that 10% match. So the borough has to pay about $90,000. And you had mentioned at the last meeting that some of that match could come in the form of payroll. And what I see here is change that would clarify that language.
Yeah, we have some money that we spent back in 2022, $17,500 back in those days, that we paid with Alan Murph to do some of the original engineering. Denali has been gracious enough to allow that to count towards our match.
Okay.
The assembly approved at the last meeting another $25,000. That's to update those numbers from 2022 and do some permitting. Which is a process itself.
Mm-hmm.
Alan, again, will take care of that. That can count towards the match. And then the payroll piece is people like me spending an hour doing paperwork, Jody looking at finances,
mm-hmm.
Chris and Kata and Aaron Merle, who are actually going to be kind of our inspectors on the job when it comes down to it. So between all of us, we'll put in some time, which we can take credit for, and with Denali towards that match. And at the end, if the borough has to write a check, that's possible, but I think we'll probably get real close to that match
by the time
with people as well as some of the engineering.
Oh, wow.
We'll probably hire Horizon Associates to do some work with the contractor when we get that far. In other words, helping us put the bid out, managing that process.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be another payment to them at some point.
Okay.
So it'll be close. I mean, we're already well over half of that is picked up by the engineering.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. And then when I had spoken with you last week when I did a story about this, And you said it was likely at the time that it would come from the Property Development Fund instead of the general fund. And it looks like it says here on the agenda, the borough will use monies from the Property Development Fund. So that decision was made. It's not going to come out of the general fund. It's not going to bump up that.
Correct.
That budget. Okay. Do you have anything else you want to add?
No, just appreciate people listening in and paying attention to this. It's a lot of stuff. It's really important. You know, we've got a very tough budget coming up. The sales tax did not pass. And so we're going to have to figure out how to make our budgets balance next time around. And, that's why we do stuff like the assisted living.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not sure we'll be able to pull money from general fund to balance their budget for them. So we'll do as much as we can on this stuff, and some of this language change, it helps so we can explain to people that, you know, when they get a sales tax or a property tax bill from us, they know what and why.
Right.
So we appreciate the help with KFSK to do this.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for coming in, and we will be, of course, broadcasting the Borough Assembly meeting live at 6 p.m. this evening. Coming up next, we are going to have Street Beat with Alec McMurrin.